always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus,
the center of it all. Jesus, the center of it all.
Amen. As it is each Sunday and each time that we gather and worship together, what a blessing. What a blessing. Now, I want to thank you for being in this faith community, if it's for your first time, or if you've been here since we've began, or in between. Because what we do is we rejoice. And we are grateful for your presence as we are all part of God's family. Amen? All means all. This morning, the scriptures comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and that's going to be our focus. Now, this passage is what is known as the Beatitudes, and that is a blessing for which you may be familiar. And it reads along the lines of, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, what we're going to do this morning, though, is we're going to hear a different version. It's a modern paraphrase from the Message, and I'm going to invite Dr. Larry High Jr. coming forward. And Larry is also going to be one of the co-leaders of a small group coming up. Yes, amen. And he's going to share these words with us. Again, this is Matthew 5, 1 through 12.
When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. Mm. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble.
Thank you, Larry. And may our Redeemer and Restorer of life bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen. This morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share what happened long ago with this community that were clamoring to hear some good news. They needed some good news. But not only did they need to hear some good news, they wanted to hear it from Jesus Christ. And they were willing to climb a hillside. We're not talking a little hill. They're up. They were willing to climb. And I'm going to combine it with elements that also is part of Diana Butler Bass's book, Grateful, as she addresses blessings and community and gratitude. An introduction to what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And connecting the past as well as these vitally important words from Jesus to our lives today. So let's first focus on the past and the time in which Jesus lived. Well, here's a people of faith. And I'm talking about especially those who were bucking the system of Rome or standing up to the hierarchical religious system of Israel. Well, you see, they weren't exactly welcomed with open, loving arms. They weren't receiving a warm greeting of great to see you. Like prophets of old of Israel, they were persecuted. Life was extremely harsh. It wasn't easy at all. And these individuals, most of them of lowly status, were seeking nourishment, not only of body, but of spirit. Now, can you imagine when they first heard these words, words such as these said by Jesus, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Can you imagine the emotional impact that they received hearing those words? And what and for how long they must have engaged in conversation, not only with Christ, but with one another. To hear, "Blessed are, for they will be," had to have grabbed a hold of their hearts and lifted them up beyond measure. To know the world may not be as the way the Beatitudes are describing it right then and there, but someday, someday it will be. And back then, as just as is now, there was and is still idolatry, injustice, exploitation, violence. They mourned like we mourn. But they were also placing themselves, their whole selves, their identity, individually, as well as a community, in the divine creator. In the midst of horrific, dire, unfathomable circumstances, they put their whole trust in God, as we should. By the way, it's an interesting mix of verb tenses that is being used by Jesus here, because he's using the present tense, are, with the implication of a guaranteed future, will be. And both are and will be are real, very real. So what does blessed or blessing mean? So there's a couple of things that I'll share here. And one is that blessing, it's translated from the Hebrew word ashar, A-S-H-A-R. And what that means in its literal sense is to find the right road, to find the right road. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take one of those blessings that Larry read, and I'm going to add that here. So this is what Jesus said: you're on the right road when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and the Holy One's rule. So I say that it's good to know when you're on the right road, yeah? Also, blessing means happy, fortunate, blissful. In addition, this gift of God, it comes from a Greek word, and it's makarios. And it's associated with merriment and favor. And when we take everything that I just talked about, everything into consideration, and this into consideration, blessing is then both a sacred gift and something that makes one happy. Blessings and thanks, they go together. And we're going to get more into that shortly. I want to go one more aspect into the past, because this is very important. I want to place emphasis back, and again, when Jesus was there during the first century. But I want to talk about life as it was being experienced in the Roman Empire. Because it's imperative to know what blessings meant to the people in the political context when Jesus was preaching to the crowd and sharing the Beatitudes. As Bass writes in her book, for the ancient Romans, their idea of gratitude was embedded in their structure of the politics. Gratitude was not a feeling. It was a political requirement. Now, how so? Glad you asked. So, here's the blessing layout. I want to give you the blessing layout, all right? So, at the very tip top is the Roman emperor. He was looked upon as a god. Now, that's with a small letter G, but I got to tell you, we get into the emperor's mind, he's not thinking small letter G, he's thinking big letter G. He wants to be known as the most powerful, the most supreme. And the public believed that the emperor at the tip top was exceptionally blessed. And so with that belief, you know where blessings flow down from? The top, right? And at the top is the emperor. Now, what about those individuals that are tight? They're tight with the emperor at the top of the social hierarchy. Well, you see, let the good times roll. Because you see, those for them, the blessings are in abundance. They're having a good old time. And furthermore, the more blessed you were, well, gosh, the more blessings you could, if you chose to, bestow on those beneath you. Now, when I say beneath, I'm talking about a ranking system. Understand, it was very clear, made very clear that if you had food, land, peace, it was because Rome gave it to you, a blessing. And those benefits were, again, from the top down. And in turn, what happened is the members of each social class took a share for themselves, and what's happening is there's a lot left less for the classes below, and by the time the benefits reached the bottom rung of society, they were paltry, those blessings, thinly distributed. But wait, there's more. Because even with a paltry blessing down below, nonetheless, it's a blessing in the eyes of Rome. This blessing layout was a reciprocal system, you see, of gratitude. Because all of the beneficiaries returned their gratitude in the form of tributes and taxes, loyalty, honor, public works, and return favors. So here's what's worse for the lower classes, this burden of reciprocity. Such a blessing, right? That was heavily placed on their shoulders because it's heading back up, and the taxes were exceedingly high placed upon their shoulders. And even though these taxes were high, it's because even though they had received less than others that were ahead of them on this rung, which led the lowly to have huge financial debts and to not pay back, to not return the favor that was given. Well, you see, that was interpreted as ingratitude. That was interpreted as being treasonous. And so now we have here with Jesus, and he's telling folks who are desperately hungering for and thirsting for righteousness. They are desperately needing this deep connection with the one true benevolent God, and they hear Jesus' words of compassion and hope, telling a broken and hurting people, here is where true life, here are where true blessings, that this is where it's found. The Beatitudes speak of a joy which seeks us through our pain. That joy which sorrow and loss and pain and grief, it's powerless to touch. That joy that shines through our tears and in which nothing in life and nothing in death can take away. Now imagine hearing Jesus' words in the midst of what I just described. Now let me shift to this day and age and how the Beatitudes are applicable to us personally as well as a community living together, and that includes us, this faith community being together. Because one could look at these nine blessings as merely being poetry. How quaint. How nice. But it's impractical. No way, no how can we put these words stated by the one whom we say we follow. We can't put those into practice because they're impossible. Plus, and we've all been taught this in this world of competition and fear, that blessings, those are specifically, you know, those are provided to those who succeed. So, master of your own destiny, if you got to step on or crush somebody to get on and prosper, more props to you. Attaboy. Who wants to give thanks for poverty, hunger, and grief? That's what Jesus said in the sermon. Wouldn't you rather be rich? Wouldn't you rather be sexy? Wouldn't you rather be powerful, controlling, dominant, desired, rolling in the dough and in material possessions? Goodness gracious, these Beatitudes are confusing. But let me ask you, where is our trust? Where is our trust? Is it in God or is it in man? Is it in Jesus or is it in the stock market? It is in the Holy Spirit or the political machinations of this world? Where is our faith? Because if we don't trust Jesus, if we don't believe in the words or his actions and not behave in the way Jesus did, well, my friends, we are missing the mark. That said, if we're open to knowing more about Christ, if we truly seek knowledge of God. If we approach the Beatitudes in this manner, that's an imitation of being in this world that leads directly to practices of gratitude. It's important, very important, that we recognize that these Beatitudes that were shared by Christ with a crowd, that they weren't individualistic blessings. Don't look at them that way. Not as individualistic blessings. These were blessings that were communal for a gathered community. And yet, I want you to notice what started out as a crowd on a hillside almost 2,000 years ago, it steamrolled into something a lot more. That crowd became a community. That crowd eventually became faith communities blossoming into a society formed by gratitude. And as Christ did then, the blessings of these Beatitudes are addressed to the whole of our faith community. For one person, let's be realistic. One person here is not necessarily going to be meek, merciful, and pure in heart. That's a whole lot to ask, right? But if we take it in the whole perspective, together is where we find persons of meekness, ministers of mercy, and workers of peace. Amen? And that's where we've got to take our lives, because you see, we were all created from the same dust. We are all subject to the same laws, and guess what? We're all destined for the same end. And we must conform our lives more to the values of the kingdom, because when we do this, we move more into the future tense of the new creation along with the present tense in this life. Blessed are, for they will be. My friends, we're in this together. As Bass states in her book, the me of gratitude must extend to the we of gratitude as an ethic, a vision of community that is based on the habits and practices of grace and gifts. But, as she pointedly asks, will gratitude be used to undergird hierarchies of power and quid pro quo, or will gratefulness undo unjust practices of control to enlarge the circle of benefits for all? I want, and I'm letting you know I'm coming close to a close, to share something by a very straightforward, and this is someone I really appreciate, Reverend Nadia Bowles-Weber from her book, Accidental Saints. As an aside, and another shout out to Ashley Roque, she made me aware that Nadia has this potent vision of the Beatitudes. And you can find those, it's two minutes of time. You can find those on the YouTube, and I highly recommend listening to that. But I want to share this snippet of what she wrote in Accidental Saints, and this is what she shared. I like to imagine Jesus here blessing us because I believe that this is our Lord. It was Jesus who came to us in the most vulnerable of ways as a powerless flesh and blood newborn, as though to say, you may hate your bodies, but I am blessing all human flesh. You may admire strength and might, but I am blessing all human weakness. You may seek power, but I am blessing all human vulnerability. This Jesus whom we follow cried at the tomb of his friend and turned the other cheek and forgave those who hung him on a cross. He was God's beatitude, God's blessing to the weak in the world that only admires the strong. Yes, indeed, Rev Nadia, yes, indeed. To the one who blesses all human flesh, all human weakness, all human vulnerability, Jesus Christ is God's blessing for all of us across the board, but most especially those in need, those who are poor in spirit, those hungering and thirsting for righteousness. But now, with that good news, how are we going to respond? How are we going to act? Well, let us, as a community that feeds and clothes those in need, let's be the one who humbles ourselves in prayer before the divine Creator who comforts those who mourn, let us gratefully and graciously give of ourselves. Let us make a difference in this world. Let us forgive. Let us treat everyone with respect. In response to words such as those that were stated by Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere," may we strongly, may we courageously stand up for those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, as he did to the best of his human spiritual ability to do God's will and to live out the Beatitudes. Yes, let's do that. Dear and loving, affirming body of Christ, the faith community of Harmony Toluca Lake, let's be part of the reordering of this world as God sees it. Let us be gratitude. Amen. Amen. Let me lift us up in a prayer. Thank you, O Holy One, for the gift of Jesus who calls us to be different than the world beckons us. We are grateful for the blessings and insight of these Beatitudes, reminding us to put our whole trust, our whole selves in you, and for us to share our gratitude with others, especially those who are broken and those who are hurting. May we seek you at all times, and in following Christ, may we be led and kept on the right road. We give it all over to you, Jesus, and we say together, amen.
Lord, one more time, Harmony. Pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor.
Good. Lord, you are good and your mercy is